It's Sharp in the Morning. Jim Sharp, 550 KFYI.
All right, it's Mike Bermette for Jim Sharp. Going to get your latest on Syria, a local story that affects everyone here at KFYI, and your chance to win a great prize. It's Sharp in the Morning. All right, welcome to Sharp in the Morning. Let's give you a chance to win if you're near your smartphone. If you're driving, I don't encourage it. Oh, it is at 6. It is, oh, I thought it was at 5. Never mind, we'll do it in an hour. How's that? Thanks, Andrew. Wow, it's early. What the hell am I doing here? Why did I think this was a good idea this morning? Eh, I had no idea. All right, it's Sharp in the Morning. Latest on Syria going to happen this morning. I talked with Congressman Matt Salmon yesterday. He was on the show right after... he was a part of the House hearing for the Foreign Relations Committee, hearing, questioning John Kerry. We got some great audio. As a matter of fact, go all the way back probably 30 years plus, and what John Kerry said as Private Citizen about Syria. So that will happen today. On my show later on this afternoon, a little shameless plug, at 5:30 this afternoon, John McCain will be in studio with me discussing his stance on Syria. He actually was against the Senate, the committee yesterday that approved, it passed a committee hearing yesterday in the Senate, will probably go to a full vote of the Senate next week. He was against it, not because we were going to take action against Syria, but because he believes there's not enough action taken. So there are two town hall meetings today in Arizona that the Senator McCain is a part of. These are open to the public. I'm awaiting confirmation of where they are, and I'm going to send those out via social media. I'll put up my Facebook page. You can find me at Mike Broomhead on Facebook, and you can also find me at Broomhead Show on Twitter. I'll give you the two locations, one in Phoenix, one in Tucson, and then immediately following those two town hall meetings, John McCain will be in studio with me this afternoon. Catch up on some of the headlines in the news. Apparently over 600 DUI arrests over the Labor Day weekend. So all weekend long, over 600 people, 126 citations for DUI drug arrests, and 196 of those 600 people were extreme DUI. That's great. So, Andrew Babinski, let me ask you a question. Do you realize Arizona is one of five states that makes it illegal to be a part of a fantasy football league?
Oh, boy, do I know this.
Do you?
Yes, because there are national competitions on the big websites, Yahoo, ESPN, NFL, that you can play a fantasy league for free, and right. Then there's a prize on the line. But since we live in Arizona, we can't win the prize.
But did you know that if you have a league that, and I'm not, this is hypothetical, because I know you would never do anything that was illegal in Arizona, but sure. Hypothetically speaking, if you're the commissioner of a league that collects money for a fantasy football league and then gives out a prize at the end of that league, chances are the commissioner of that league is the one who gets in trouble.
Wow, Mike Jarecki from Extra Sports 910 could be really in trouble when it comes to our league.
Is he the commissioner of a hypothetical league? Or
he is now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know who that was. I knew there was a league. I'd heard a rumor that there's a fantasy football league around here.
I thought you would not be in trouble as long as you didn't, as long as the quote unquote house doesn't take a percentage.
It just says here that by Arizona statute, anyone who accepts a fee for admission then runs the contest, there's a potential for a prize at the end.
Right. Those I think the fee is the key word there. There's no fee when it comes to my league.
No, it's a fee for admission.
Right. But all the prize money is given out. I don't take a percentage. So no, I think I'm cool.
No, they're saying if you collect an admission fee, in other words, if people have to pay to opt into the league, hypothetically, because there's really no such thing. We're
right,
all talking hypothetical.
Well, fantasy football is stupid.
It is stupid. It's dumb. Nobody would ever do that. Although, hypothetically, I would say this. I changed my tactic from when I was in this hypothetical league a couple of years ago. I was thinking about being in a league, and a few years ago, I figured maybe I'll sit through the draft and pick my own players. And then I thought I would be pretty bad at that. So I actually let the computer pick my players this year and got a B in my draft. So now on, man.
In what? You got a B in a draft?
Yeah.
Hypothetically?
Hypothetically.
Gotcha.
My grade was B. I got a B grade.
I got an A minus, hypothetically.
Okay. But see, I think when I picked my own players, I think I made you angry.
You did.
I remember you saying to me, that's...
I think you drafted two kickers.
No.
Oh, no, that was Sharp. That was Sharp.
Yeah. No, but I was the one where I was getting the comments from people saying, what the hell did you do that for? That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, but in every year in all these hypothetical leagues, there's always the same guy. Like Chris Barber used to be in a league that we were hypothetically in.
Yeah.
And he takes a Packer every single year with his first pick because he loves the Packers. And everyone yells at him, but he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about fantasy football.
And then if you end up winning a game, and I ended up like 500. But see, ours was totally free, no prizes, no nothing. It was all just for fun and bragging.
It's charity. We gave money to charity.
We did. What money? There was no money. I never gave anybody any money. I never took any money. I had no part in any money.
So what is this penalty for being a commissioner of a fantasy football league?
Isn't it stupid, though? In the end, who cares? It's like a house poker game. You know, they remember, you know, a few years ago in Arizona, they were kicking down the doors of these clubhouses in these retirement communities, and people were getting arrested for playing penny poker with a bunch of guys in the clubhouse where they lived.
But I'm pretty sure, and I know you're saying the article, I'm pretty sure the rule is, same with a house poker game, as long as no one's taking money off the top, that since the money put into the pool is all divvied out and no one gets paid to run it, which means you are being paid like a casino,
yeah,
getting a VIG, then I think you're fine.
But see, I think the way I'm reading this is they're talking about an admission. So it's like if someone starts a fantasy football league and they set it up where you have to pay to get in, and at the end, for paying to get in, you could win a prize.
What is the other? There's no other reason to play fantasy football. For fun?
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah, there's nothing fun. And fantasy baseball makes me crazy. I mean, that is something you have to be on. That's crazy how much maintenance there is on a fantasy baseball league.
I'm in the playoffs for my fantasy baseball team right now.
Are you really?
There's some funds not on the line.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of bragging rights on the
line. Yes, that's it.
Bragging rights. Okay,
I want to brag. My wallet's fatter than yours.
Yeah. All right, 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. We're going to get to the Syria issue here in just a few moments. I want to catch you up on a local story. I kind of lost my mind on my show yesterday about something that's been making me angry for a while. I now have proof that in the city of Phoenix, we are all a bunch of sheep and lemmings by how we are getting screwed over by the people in big positions. Second time in a row, same job, different person, same results. I'll explain the details here in just a moment. I'm Mike Broomhead. This is Sharp in the Morning. Coming up today on the Mike Broomhead Show in the 5 o'clock hour, John McCain talks about Syria in the studio. I'll take your calls. It's News Talk 550 KFYI. All right, we'll find out this afternoon. It's weird hearing myself in a promo. Today, I'm about 5:30 this afternoon, John McCain's in studio. We're going to find out if we're going to be all in on Syria. Are we all in? What's going on? Are we bluffing? So, the story that happened, this has been ongoing for a while, drove me out of my mind. I kind of lost my mind on the air yesterday. All this, if you live in here in the Valley, you've heard a lot about pension spiking. They're trying to stop this from happening. It's supposed to be against Arizona state law. The city of Phoenix has been, for a long time, said they're going to look into this. Well, recently, I think it was yesterday, I got the email that three city council members, Sal DeCicco, Thelda Williams, and Jim Waring, are council members in the city of Phoenix. They now have made an official request to the mayor's office in Phoenix to look into pension spiking. Here's the problem. Let me sum this up for you in a nutshell. City employees, and they blame this mostly on, they say, rank and file. You know, they're going after cops and firefighters. I don't think that's where the problem lies for the most part. But here's what happens. They set their pensions up. It's based on, like, the highest 3 years of salary is what your pension is based on. So city employees, usually they are high-level management employees making into the six figures, and what they do is at the end of their time, they save up. They can accrue sick pay and vacation pay, and they wait until they're getting ready to retire and that calculation of the highest 3 years in salary happens, and they spike by taking all of that money in one lump sum and putting it into that year's salary. So not only can they take all that sick time over a bunch of years and convert it to cash, but then they can add that cash to their pay and make it look like they make a lot more money. The reason why this made me so angry yesterday is outgoing Phoenix city manager. He is going to be the city manager in Phoenix for another month or so. His name is David Cavazos. David Cavazos, it turned out not too long ago that he was going to leave and go to Santa Ana, California for about the same amount of money running a much smaller city than he makes in the city of Phoenix. It's like $315,000 in total compensation. Well, here's the punchline to all this nonsense. Is the city council voted pretty overwhelmingly, I think there may have been one or two no votes, to give him a 30-some percent raise, like $37,000 a year. They gave him in a pay raise less than a year ago. It was a retroactive pay raise. Took him well over $200,000 in salary. When you add up all the compensation, he gets a ton of dough. You know, $600 a month car allowance, $100 a month cell phone allowance, $4,000 a year longevity pay from the city of Phoenix. All of these things in compensation. And there's members of the city council are furious because they said they gave him this pay raise so he wouldn't leave. Less than a year later, lo and behold, David Cavazos is retiring from the city of Phoenix, and he's taking this huge raise he just got, adding that into his compensation, and now to add insult to injury, because in his interview, and I wish we had audio of it, but he did an interview with AZ Central trying to do damage control for leaving the city of Phoenix high and dry after he took a raise to stay so that it brought him up to a level of compensation that was comparable to other big cities. He said, hey, I had no intention of leaving. I love Phoenix. You know, when I started with the city of Phoenix, he was making like, I don't know, 12 or 14 bucks an hour. Maybe it was less than that. He was this little, you know, lunch pail, hourly employee. And, man, I just, you know, the city of Phoenix has been so good to me. Who'd have known a guy that starts here working in a little area of the city, making an hourly wage, that someday I'd be running the whole shooting match. I owe a ton to Phoenix. Phoenix has been so good to me. I love Phoenix. Thank you, Phoenix. So he's doing damage control for leaving. City council members were furious because they have egg on their face for giving him a raise. Councilwoman Thelda Williams said, we are actually saving Phoenix money by giving Cavazos a pay raise, because it would cost us $500,000 to do a nationwide search to replace David Cavazos as city manager. So giving him this $30,000 a year pay raise is actually going to save Phoenix money in the long run. Less than a year later, the guy leaves anyway. Here's the insult to injury part of it. He spiked his pension to the tune of $200,000 in this year's salary, by putting in the percentage of his sick pay that he can convert to cash and taking his vacation pay and converting it to cash, car allowance, cell phone allowance, all these allowances go in. Not to mention, city employees largely pay between 5 and 10% of their wages into the pension system. Cavazos, 2%. So that's what pension spiking is. And now David Cavazos is leaving, and after he does this aw shucks interview with AZ Central saying, you know, hey, I'm just the luckiest guy in the whole world. Phoenix has been so good to me. Thank you, Phoenix. I had a great time here, but now I've got an opportunity in Santa Ana, California, where they're speculating, because Cavazos and the city of Phoenix will not speak about how much his compensation is until after he's gone. They say it's because he's divorced, and his ex-wife is going to get part of his, you know, his pension. So it's a confidentiality agreement in their divorce decree that won't allow them to speak. This is damage control, pure and simple. He's going to be in that job for another month, and he doesn't want you to know that he is hammering Phoenix by spiking his pension. He's going to make it about 200 grand a year, is what AZ Central is speculating. All because, you know, oh shucks, thank you, Phoenix. On the way out the door, I'm going to hammer you by spiking my pension for as much money as I possibly can. I think it's insulting. Does the policy need to change? I had an argument with somebody yesterday that said, talk about the problem systemically instead of going after the guy. Why can't I do both? Why can't we do both? Why can't we acknowledge that this kind of nonsense drives the system crazy and it needs to be changed? And at the same time, hammer the people that are taking advantage. Because the city manager before him, same job, different guy, his name was Fairbanks, I think, did the exact same thing. Couple $100,000 a year, and then hammers the pension system by spiking it with all of his sick time and all of his vacation time, inflates his salary in the calculation for the pension he gets from the city of Phoenix people for the rest of his life. It's just a disgusting way to do business. It's a horrible system and a horrible way to do things. 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. Going to jump on Siri, give you the latest and greatest on what's going on. Some audio from my show yesterday. Some old audio on of John Kerry as a citizen after Vietnam, before he was elected to office, what he had to say about America's intervention into things and moralism and making decisions about things that were not a direct threat. All that coming up here in a few moments. And a high school football coach in Phoenix was too rough on players and gets fired. All that coming up on Sharp in the Morning. I'm Mike Broomhead. Back in a moment.
Here comes the
nearly famous Barry Young Show. Weekday morning, 7:06. News Talk 550 KFYI.
All right, it's Mike Broomhead in for Sharp in the Morning. I'll be in tomorrow morning for Jim as well. Also doing my show this afternoon, 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. End of the last half hour talking about the pension spiking. David Cavazos, outgoing city manager. Remember, this is the same city manager that said we're too broke to give back the cops and firefighters the full pay that they were was taken from them a few years ago when they agreed to the 2% food tax that Phoenicians are still paying. We can't get rid of the food tax. We can't reinstate all the funds because the city is still too broke. Yet we can give him a $37,000 a year pay raise. And on top of that, on his way out the door, he can kick us in the groin one more time by spiking his pension to the tune of about 200 grand. Just telling you, legal, sure. Moral, you decide. Normally, none of my business what somebody does in the private sector, except this isn't the private sector. This is our tax dollars. Let's go to Joe in Phoenix. Joe, welcome back.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, I was just, as you know, Mike, I'm the president of the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association. I was just driving into work today listening to your commentary about the pension spiking and what have you. And I don't want to so much talk about the city manager. He had a contract that was approved by the city council, whether you like it or not. You need to, you know, probably take that up with them. But I want to talk specifically about pension spiking as it relates to police officers, public safety. We've negotiated those benefits, as you know, Mike, over the last 20 years.
Yep.
We agreed to that is part of our total compensation package. We agree to accept that amount of compensation in exchange for doing a very dangerous job. That's the primary concern that I have about this debate is we agree to do the job for a certain amount of benefits and pay. It was negotiated every 2 years in public. Public had an opportunity to review it. The city council signed off on it every 2 years, including Councilman DeCiccio. So I take kind of exception to this discussion about taking away something that was a fairly openly negotiated benefit with our employer that compensates employees for a very difficult job. A pension is nothing more than deferred compensation in exchange for this benefit. I'm sure not unlike your contract.
Yeah.
The discussion I'd like to have is if you want to take something away, then you obviously think police officers make too much money. Unless you're willing to have the other end of that discussion is what are you willing to do in exchange for that benefit that you don't like? I get it. You don't like certain aspects of the contract, but what are we willing to do to make sure that the police officers, firefighters, and other workers aren't harmed in terms of their total compensation?
And see, your argument about cops and firefighters, you know better than anyone, Joe, that my support of law enforcement and first responders in general, I always, or 99% of the time, I stand shoulder to shoulder with you and with this idea. My problem with the pension spiking aspect of this is when we see outrageous abuses like this, well, I'm not talking about rank and file cops or firefighters or first responders, public safety officials, whatever you want to call them. The problem I have is when you look at what's happened because I've been dealing with this, been so outraged by this. When you deal with something, I know you're not going to comment on the city manager specifically, but give the guy a raise of 30% or so so that he'll stay. Less than a year later, he decides to leave and throws egg in the face of the city council. Then at the end of the deal, instead of going away and taking his pension, spikes it to the tune of $200,000 a year on top of already the big compensation he's getting, and it makes your job more difficult when you make that negotiation. And now when you come on the air and make this case, it makes it more difficult for people to swallow because they see these people in management positions taking hundreds of thousands of dollars out of a system when they're saying we got to tax our food because we're broke.
Well, first of all, Mike, those benefits were never intended nor negotiated for upper-level management, which, if you'll notice, is primarily the people that have been in the news of late in terms of these, quote, exorbitant pensions. You don't hear about the rank-and-file police officer retiring with a $40,000 pension. Those, like I said, those benefits were negotiated, which, by the way, are legal. In my opinion, they're clearly legal. And they were intended initially for rank-and-file police officers to as a deferred compensation for doing a difficult job.
Right.
The fact that managers ultimately got those benefits is not my problem. It's not my fault. And I get really tired of police officers and firefighters being beat up in the public by folks that villainize our compensation package. And that's fine. I get it, Mike. And I'm going to share with you a story. About 12, 15 years ago, I was chief negotiator for the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association. We had an opportunity to cash in our bank of sick leave and enhance our pension. And you know what I did? As did the fire department, we said, no way, we're not going to do that. It's not legal. Because once it hits the sick leave bucket, it's off limits. So we don't do that. And we deliberately opted not for that benefit because we didn't believe that it was the right thing to do. I got to tell you, I'm really irritated with this discussion, and I finally had to call in and say something to you, Mike. And I know you love cops, but this is wrong. What's going on? All I hear are politicians harping and complaining about the pay package that was rightfully duly noted and negotiated in public with an opportunity for public review. Council has voted on it time and time again, year after year. Every 2 years they vote on it. If they didn't know what the hell they were voting on, shame on them. That sounds to me like malfeasance. But I get tired of people beating up city workers, and as particularly public safety, over this and not wanting to have a full conversation about what's, if you don't like this benefit model, then what are we going to do to exchange it? Because if you're not willing to have that conversation, then what you're saying, in effect, is you think police officers make too much money. Do you think that, Mike?
No, and you know that I don't think that. And I think maybe the comparison that you and I are talking about are two completely different things. My outrage is what I just specifically talked about and what's happening with the city manager. And part of it was in defense of what's happened to the cops and the firefighters with the give back that you guys went to the table when the city was in financial trouble to save the jobs of cops and firefighters. You agreed to support a 2% food tax by giving back compensation and saving the jobs of existing first responders. I know you did all that. My problem is the same city manager that said not too long ago that your cops and firefighters are not going to get back the full compensation what was taken from them a few years ago, and we can't get rid of the food tax because we're broke as a city. The same guy takes a $37,000 a year pay raise and then on his way out the door spikes his pension to the same city he says was so good to him for 20-some years. That is what I'm outraged about. As far as the compensation you negotiated as a group of people and first responders, I think is a completely different conversation that you're absolutely right. If you negotiated in public, then you're entitled to the compensation. If they don't like it, they should negotiate again with a different kind of compensation.
Mike, I understand what you're saying, but the bottom line is this, as I see it. I don't run the city. I don't control police management or city government or city manager's office or anything else. I negotiate for Phoenix police officers. The guys out there pushing patrol cars and getting shot at the other night. I don't have any control what city managers and city politicians do. But what it does, frankly, piss me off is that we're taking the brunt of this as it relates to our total compensation package because a handful of managers have what people perceive to be as exorbitant pensions. that were not negotiated and were never intended to be negotiated for them. But you know what? When you make the rules, I guess you get to interpret the rules.
Yeah.
But as you can tell, Mike, I'm a little bit irritated with it. I've kind of remained silent for a long time on this. Maybe I shouldn't have. But what are we going to do if you don't like a certain benefit compensation aspect of our contract? I get that.
Yep.
But what are you going to do, and when is the conversation going to start about the replacement value of those rightfully negotiated benefits and compensation package that the police officers have? That's what irritates me, is the guys on the street are the ones that are being, in my opinion, it appears, villainized as those greedy bastards, and I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, and Joe, I agree with you, and I wanted to give you a chance to speak your mind. I know we've had some conversations about this. I appreciate you giving me your perspective on this, because we know as this moves forward where this conversation is going, and I think the focus on the abuse is in the wrong place. They're focusing on your guys and on the firefighters, as opposed to the what I think is egregious and what we're seeing out of the city manager's office. Second city manager in a row we've seen this. We know they're not the only ones. There's other people in high-ranking positions. But, Joe, I appreciate your position, and you know you're always welcome on my show to talk about this, and I'm sure we'll do it in the future.
I appreciate it, Mike.
All right, thanks. That's thanks. Joe. He is the head of the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association. I got to take a quick break. I'm Mike Broomhead. I'm in for Sharp in the Morning. We get back, we got to jump into Syria and some other local issues, and I got to catch you up on what's happened in the latest and greatest. You'll hear audio, and we'll catch you up on Syria next.
Wake up, wake up.
All right, thanks for being here. It's Sharp in the Morning. I'm Mike Broomhead. In the next hour, lots of audio. Yesterday, Congressman Matt Salmon joined me right after the congressional hearing, the House hearing on Syria with John Kerry. He had some questions. I'll let you hear what he had to say in the audio. Also, some old soundbite of John Kerry. Makes me wonder exactly what's going on. It's such a... this is such a diverse opinion from what he's always carried. And he's been a pretty consistent guy from his post-Vietnam time, when he testified as a private citizen in Congress, as he did the talk circuit. He was a Yale graduate. He was on all over the place. And so we will kind of dive into what's going on in Syria. I'll catch you up on the latest. Matt Salmon says there were 500 phone calls into his office, 498-2 against any action in Syria. Who's lining up for it? Who's against it? And, of course, James Carville was on with O'Reilly yesterday, and guess who he blamed? I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. And, of course, it's George Bush's fault, all of that. So 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. Want to grab another phone call. Let's go. We were talking about pension spiking. If you're just jumping in the car, just turn it on the radio. Bob in Phoenix, welcome to the show, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
Well, I work for another agency, and I won't disclose which one, and I live in Phoenix, and I see this spending out of control with the city of Phoenix. The pension spiking kind of makes me mad, and that guy from PLE or whoever, I can appreciate their position a little bit. However, when they put guys in positions like the airport or wherever, let them do uncontrollable amounts of overtime, things like that, to spike it, it comes out of money that I put in there and other guys put in from other agencies that don't have, you know, that don't do that, that don't do the pension spiking and stuff. And it kind of irritates me because the way in California, they lost a lot of stuff in public safety retirement plans because of this type of stuff. And I'm worried about my future.
So what's, in your opinion then, because you say you work for another agency, what's the solution in your mind? What changes need to happen to the system? Is it this uncontrollable overtime you're talking about? How do you think the system needs to be fixed?
Well, I think they need to stop doing it, period. And I applaud Sal and the others for standing up for it. Because, you know, it's this union thing that they got going. They got pretty strong unions there. Other places don't. And it's frustrating, you know. You put your money into it over time in a career, then you go to retire, and you get what you get, you know. But to kind of cheat the system the way they're doing it, I don't necessarily agree with it.
Do you think, is it a public safety employee issue, or do you think that it's city employee wide. This is something that's an abuse of the system, you know, system wide.
Well, I know that the PD's catching the brunt of it, but I know it's probably running in all departments over there in the city. I mean, especially after hearing about the city manager and what he did and what they did before with Fairbanks, that kind of thing. You know, I got kind of worn out on it when they raised the 2-cent food grocery tax that was supposed to be temporary and said it was to save cops' jobs and all this stuff. And, you know, other places are taking cuts and putting guys on furlough time and things like that. And I didn't see that happening much at Phoenix at all. And like I said, I live up in Phoenix.
Okay.
And, you know, God bless those guys that if they can get what they can get before they retire. But I think it's kind of gaming it and cheating a little bit.
Okay. Well, Bob, I got to tell you, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the position. I've always felt like public safety is different than anybody else in a sense. It's a difficult job, but we differ in opinion. I just looked at what happened with the city manager. It just seemed to me to be completely out of line with a guy that was the one who said we're too broke to do a lot of things and then can look at himself in the mirror and do these things to the very people he said were responsible for his success and giving him an opportunity. It didn't seem like the two did not mesh well. In the next hour, we're going to talk about Syria, a lot of audio, and give you a preview of what's going to happen on my show as John McCain joins me in the studio later on this afternoon. 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. That's coming up in the next hour. We'll give you all you need to know about the latest in Syria. My name is Mike Broomhead at Broomhead Show or Mike Broomhead at KFYI.com. It's Sharp in the Morning. Yeah.